Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by John et al. Titled, "The Piezo 1 Cation Channel Mediates Uterine Artery Shear Stress, Mechanotransduction, and Vasodilation During Rat Pregnancy." This article was published July 13, 2018. Joining me today are Editor-in-Chief Irv Zucker, Lead Author George Osel, and Content Expert Kirk Conrad. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara, and thank you, George and Kirk, for participating in this podcast. Much has been learned over the past several decades on the regulation of uterine blood flow, especially during pregnancy. While we know a good deal about hormonal regulation of uterine growth and blood flow, we do not know much about the regulation of uterine vessel tone in response to endothelial shear stress, which is a major transducer of blood flow. The current study helps to shed light on this question by examining the influence of shear stress on the function of the shear stress mechanosensitive ion channel, piezo 1. George, can you tell us and tell our listeners a little bit about the rationale for the study, some of the methods you've used, and what the primary results were?
Of course, Irv, and thanks for giving me a chance to explain this paper. We've been studying the growth of the uterine circulation in pregnancy for a number of years, as have some other people. And it's a unique situation because the uterine circulation has to provide blood to the placenta. And so during pregnancy, in every mammalian species, including humans, the uterine blood flow, or more accurately, uteroplacental blood flow, has to increase progressively and dramatically during pregnancy. And so we know that it increases because of two things. First of all, uterine vessels tend to dilate. Second, they tend to grow. And so those two processes are not exclusive because we believe that dilation leads to growth. And so the question is, how is this growth and this dilation stimulated and regulated? So as Irv, as you said in the introduction, we know that shear stress is a very powerful stimulus for growth of blood vessels. And we hypothesize that in this case, the shear stress is increased because of the process of placentation. And this then leads to the growth of the vessel. But the question is, how is this shear stress sensed? And so we got onto the piezo 1 channel because it's a fairly recent channel, first of all. It was only identified for the first time in 2010. It's a weird channel. Unlike most channels, it's huge. It forms trimers to make propeller-like structures in the membrane. And most importantly, it was shown that if you transfect this channel into cells that don't respond to shear stress, they will respond to shear stress, and they will do so by producing nitric oxide. And this bears on our work because we and others have found that nitric oxide mediates the growth and the vasodilation of the uterine circulation in pregnancy. So we were curious in this paper to see whether this channel may possibly be the sensor for shear stress, and that when it's activated, cation channels, positive ions, then enter the cell. These activate the production of nitric oxide through ENOS, which is the enzyme that makes nitric oxide. So our purpose in this paper really was to first of all see, is this channel present in the uterine circulation? This was not known. Secondly, does it work? Does it respond to shear stress? Third, if it does work, is it linked to nitric oxide? And fourth, is it altered by pregnancy? And so those really are the four parts of this paper. And we found that, yes, it is there. Yes, it does work. And we tested its function using an in vitro system where we cannulated uterine arteries. And then by constricting them and then inducing a flow through the vessel, we induced a shear stress on the endothelium. And we used blockers for this channel to see if the dilation that resulted could be inhibited, and it was. So using Western blotting, we determined that the channel was present. We looked at pregnant versus non-pregnant uterine arteries, and we found that it was upregulated in pregnancy. So it's there, it works. And using blockers to nitric oxide, we were able to block the dilation induced by iota-1, which is an agonist that activates the piezo 1 channel. So in answer to all those four questions, we feel that this is very exciting because it really argues for the fact that this channel in particular is the molecule which senses the shear stress that then leads to dilation and growth of the uterine circulation. And I should say that diseases of pregnancy, like particularly preeclampsia, is characterized by a reduction in the vasodilation and attenuation of the growth of the vessel.
Thank you, George. Clearly, there's a maturation that occurs during pregnancy, and blood vessels need to keep up with the growth of the uterus, and that's under hormonal control. Kirk, you've worked in this area, uterine growth and maturation, for some time. I wonder if you could comment on the influence of maturation during pregnancy on blood vessel growth, and as George said, remodeling may be difficult to assess, but what we know about that, and how might this potentially new ion channel participate in that?
The mechanism of flow-mediated vasodilation has been, something that folks have wondered about for years. And so the discovery of this piezo one channel is really exciting. And George had mentioned that there are potentially other candidate mechanotransducers perhaps involved in this process, although his inhibition studies were quite compelling that this was a major one. But there is quite a literature on the primary cilia. Cilium is being a mechanotransducer for shear stress as well. And I wanted to ask George a question about whether there is any interaction between this piezo one that he's found to be involved in the uterine circulation of rats. Is there any relationship between that and the already described mechanotransducers in the primary cilium?
Well, Kirk, that's a very good point. And we looked for the presence of the channel by doing Western blotting for the protein and also by immunohistochemistry. And we were able to find a diffuse punctate staining in smooth muscle, but primarily the staining was on the endothelium. Unfortunately, we don't have the spatial resolution to be able to view to see where on the endothelium it is located. And it would be very exciting, of course, if it was located or linked to somehow the cilium.
Following up further on these piezo proteins, George, you mentioned that there's piezo 1. And that suggested to me that there were other isoforms. And I'm wondering, I didn't see mention of this in the paper, but I'm wondering if you could comment more about the other isoforms?
Yes, well, I believe that there are two piezo channels that have been recognized, piezo 1 mm-hmm. and piezo 2, and they sometimes coexist in the same cell. For example, in bladder cells, both are present. And so their expression, I think, can be differentially altered by things like cancer and so on. So to answer your question, we don't know whether piezo 2 is present.
Maybe I can comment on that a little bit. Piezo 2 is highly expressed in neuronal mechanotransducers. So in sensory endings that transduce changes in vessel wall stress or other types of mechanical stress seems to have express a lot of piezo 2.
So George, just to switch over now to the more, I guess, to the pregnancy aspect of your paper, and as you nicely summarize the changes, massive changes in the uterine circulation during pregnancy, both in terms of blood flow and in terms of remodeling, and you've very elegantly shown in the past the role of nitric oxide in these processes. And I think by and large, the changes in uterine blood flow, correct me if I'm wrong, though, parallel nicely the changes in fetal and placental growth. And therefore, these might be relatively later occurrences in the pregnancy. And this is getting to my question then. During early pregnancy, and humans really stand out in this regard, in the first trimester, there are massive increases in maternal blood flow to the kidneys. In particular, cardiac output reaches a peak, 1 or 2 liters over baseline by the end of the first trimester. Frankly, we're not sure where all that blood flow is going in human pregnancy. It's hard to study that. But I'm wondering if you could comment about whether you think this channel may also have a role in mediating shear stress mediated vasodilation, say even in the renal circulation, and whether it would be a worthwhile investigation to perhaps pursue it in other vascular beds during pregnancy.
Well, Kirk, as you have shown in many years of good work, relaxin is a very important molecule in mediating the increase in flow. And so I think that it would be, to answer your question, yes, I think it would be very interesting to look in the kidney for sure for this channel. But also, I think that there is a sort of a convergence of mechanisms that lead to increases in nitric oxide and then increased flow, mm-hmm. and increased dilation, increased flow, and perhaps stimulate growth. And so in the case of the kidney, and probably in the case of the uterus as well, the things that can stimulate nitric oxide are not just shear stress, but also, as you have shown, relaxin, also estrogen, also VEGF. And so I think that the body is very good at compensating and providing redundancy in some of these mechanisms. So I would be very interested to see, for example, if relaxin knockouts maybe would if the piezo channel is present in the renal circulation, and if so, whether relaxin knockouts would have less channel, which would suggest that there may be some regulatory aspects that have to do not with just shear stress, but with hormonal
factor. Yeah.
George, I just would like to finish up with one comment, and maybe you can enlighten us on this. And in the beginning, you talked about how this might be important in preeclampsia. Could you put your study into some clinical context on how piezo-1 might participate in the pathogenesis of preeclampsia?
Sure, I'd be happy to try, at least. Preeclampsia is a daunting disease. It's called the disease of theories because there have been so many about why it occurs. So we still don't know why women develop preeclampsia. It's a uniquely human disease. But the way we see the process is that there are early events in pregnancy which lead to spiral artery invasion by trophoblast cells, which are fetal cells. And this then splays those arteries and decreases distal resistance. And so this, we think, is the initiating factor for increasing the speed of the blood flowing upstream in the arteries and increasing shear stress. And so in pregnancy, this process has been shown to be attenuated. And so the increase in shear stress would not be as much. And so the resulting effect, given that everything else might be the same, would not be as much. So I don't know in preeclampsia whether there could be a defect in piezo-1 expression or function, but there also could be a defect in the growth with normal piezo-1 function and expression because the shear stress itself is not increasing. And that's the question we're trying to get at. We just are completing a study looking at shear stress normalization as a mechanism, and we have some supportive data that suggests that shear stress may be the physiological signal that's regulated that then controls the extent of growth that the arteries undergo. And so if that's the case, it's quite possible in preeclampsia that the extent of growth is diminished not because of a defect in channels, but because there is a less of an increase in shear stress. Of course, we've all been in the business long enough to know things are seldom what we think they are. So when we study these things, we learn new things, which drives us to do more work. But in a nutshell, I don't know. I think preeclampsia is still a question that needs to be answered.
Yeah, I would agree with George's assessment of it, of the question that you asked. I would put one caveat, though, and that is that recently, and George knows this, I'm sure, Graham Burton has published work to suggest that even though it's a serial resistance, that the trophoblast invasion, spiral artery remodeling, in his view, contributes, I think, little to increase in blood flow, but rather to reducing blood flow velocity as the blood enters into the intervillous space, thereby reducing mechanical damage of the very delicate villous structures. And this is a relatively recent finding of Dr. Burton.
I think these are all great comments, and clearly there are many studies that need to be done to follow up on George's findings and the role of piezo. I want to thank you both for participating in this podcast. I hope that those listeners that are interested in this field follow up and read the paper in full. So I'm going to turn it back to Kara now.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.